मुक्षति। कुरु कर्माय वतस्मत्वं पूर्वाय पूर्वाचरं कृतम्। All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. I am very, very grateful and happy to be back at this auspicious place, Ananda Ashram, where we rather regularly gather in this charming atmosphere to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. The hospitality of the Sevites, trustees, proprietors of this auspicious place is always very kind upon us. And wherever devotees come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and worship the Lord, that is a great holy place. That is the eternal knowledge which can free us from all the implications and complications of material life. Tonight we are reading from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15th sloka, wherein Lord Krishna is repeatedly using the word purvai, purvai, purvataram, three times gives emphasis that real knowledge is not something new. Real knowledge is older than the oldest. It is the most ancient of the ancient. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, explains that people are very proud in this day and age of being modern. Here in Bombay, so many people are trying to be modern. The idea is Western technology, Western processes of entertainment, Western machinery for one's business and office work, Western products for one's sense gratification is considered modern. Western clothes, pants and shirt and suit and tie and dress and all of these things is considered modern. But Prabhupada says this is all nonsense, because nothing is modern. It is all an illusion, because everyone is living the same situation as always. Krishna explains in Gita, janma mrityu chara vyadhi dukkha dosha nudarshana. There is birth, old age, disease, and death. People were being born in the past, and people are being born now. People are growing. Thousands, millions of years ago, children were growing, and they are still growing. people are getting old and getting diseased, and they are still getting old and diseased. And any time you trace out in history, people are dying, and they're still dying. So there's nothing modern. And what do people do to spend their time? Materialistic people, essentially eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. People were eating millions of years ago, and they're still eating. People would go to sleep. They may have had different types of houses, different shapes of houses, but their business was good to go to sleep. And tonight you will go to sleep. The Prime Minister will go to sleep. Everyone will go to sleep. And people are mating. Even the dogs and the hogs, what to speak of human civilization, as far back in history as you can trace out, people were mating, having sex life. And they are still having sex life. The population of India is now 900 million people, I have heard. That doesn't come by chance. It comes because people are still performing this ancient activity of mating. And people are defending. In the past, they defended with bows and arrows, or stones and rocks. And now they are defending with submachine guns and atomic nuclear bombs and missiles. But everyone is still indulged in defending. So there's nothing modern about eating, sleeping, mating, or defending. It is the same old story. And as far as our life, every day the sun rises. The sun has risen since the most ancient times of history. And it's the same sun, nothing new. And the moon is rising, nothing new. It's been rising for millions and millions and millions of years. So essentially, everything that's going on now has always gone on. There's actually nothing new. Srila Prabhupada says, it is old wine in a new bottle. That's all. The same substance of life is going on, but we just put it in a new bottle with a new label and say, modern, harivo! But it's all nonsense. Nothing is modern. Same. Puna punash charavata charavanana. Chewing the chew. Chewing what has already been chewed and chewed and chewed. Materialized sense gratification. And nowadays, people want to come up with new forms of knowledge, which means speculation. Today in the West, there are so many philosophers, in the East too. There are philosophers, and the pride of a philosopher is you must present something new that has never been heard before. And you must defeat and discredit anyone who has spoken before you. Then you are considered a Muni, a great philosopher. And there's always a battle and a so-called evolution of higher thought. And in the name of science, everyone is trying to discover something new. But there's nothing new. It's already there. It's always been there. But no change in the quality of life. This is the great dilemma that human civilization is facing. India is Bharatvarsha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered everyone born in India, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusya Janma Jara Janma Saratika Kari Karapara Upakara. You are born in India, you have the greatest fortune. The fortune you have is to hear the ancient, pure, original knowledge of all knowledge, which is the Vedas. Because real knowledge is eternal. It is not something new. It is not something that a philosopher is going to come by someday and figure out all the problems of this world. And today people are going to try to solve their problems with all these modern psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors and New Age thinkers, and they just say, oh, you just love each other, and all of this sentimental ignorance. You will not solve your problems with that. So many new ideas. But the problem is the same problem it's always been, and the solution to the problem is the same as it's always been. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavamam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudhulava. After many, many births of acquiring various forms of knowledge, when you come to the point of real knowledge, you surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is all that is. He is the source of everything. And it is the duty, the birthright, by the will of God, whether you like it or not, that every person taking birth in this land of India is responsible to hear the ancient wisdom of spiritual knowledge of the Vedas and to teach it to others. That is real charity. Real charity is to protect people from suffering. And only transcendental knowledge can actually protect people from suffering. Because all suffering is due to sinful reactions. It's due to being in this material world. So if you feed a poor person, or give clothes to a naked person, or give some medicine to a sick person, that is nice, that is piety. But that type of charity is very limited, and it is not very merciful. Because if the person continues the same type of activities to incriminate himself or herself in the same types of sufferings, then you're just postponing his misery for another day. But if you can teach a person how to live in harmony with the laws of nature and the laws of God, it may take time, but you're given the person the path by which all the problems of birth and death are solved. Krishna says in Gita, Abrama bhuvanaloka punar avatano arjuna mamupetitu kaunteya punara janmana vidyate. In this material creation, from the highest planet of Brahmaloka to the hellish planets of Patalaloka, they are all places of birth and death. They're all places of suffering. This is a world of suffering. To try to find happiness in a world that has already been declared as a place of death and suffering is crazy. In fact, it's insane. Intelligence is to take to the path of knowledge and orchestrate one's life in such a way that one can be freed eternally from the effects of material life, which means Aryatmaka, Aryadaivaka, and Aryabhautika. Whoever you are, if you are a devotee of God, or if you are the grossest materialistic sinful man, you have to suffer as long as you're in this world. But one is enduring his suffering and implicating himself in millions of more networks of suffering for the future. And one, although tolerating the natural environment of material existence, some enjoyment, and then some miserable situation comes. But we don't mind these things. We have a goal, we have a purpose. Padam padam yadvi padam nakensham samashtita ye padapalabhaplabam. Our goal is Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety. So with every day, with every moment of life, our heart is becoming pure, purified from those desires which incriminate us in miserable situations. And it is the duty of every human being to hear how to do that and to teach it to others. That is the great need of society. And here it is explained that there's only one way to transcend material existence. It is not by studying philosophy. Because if you study philosophy, you will find every philosopher has his own idea. It's a whole marketplace of theories and speculations. Whether it's Eastern or Western. It is not through science, because science is simply trying to understand the grossest elements of material existence. It's already there. Whether you understand it or not, it really doesn't matter. Whether a baby is eating food and it's getting digested, or a PhD in digestion eats food and it's digested the same way. Whether you know the cells of your body or you don't know the cells are going to do the same thing. Medicine may manipulate for some temporary relief, but that is, scientific knowledge will not give you relief from the condition of this world. And you can read all the Vedas, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda. You could read all the 108 Upanishads. And then there is other supplementary Upanishads. And the 18 Puranas, and the Vedanta Sutra, and the Mahabharata, and Ramayana, and the Itihastas, all the ancient histories, and the Ayurveda, and the Dhanurveda. You will not understand the truth. Krishna explains here that you have to follow in the footsteps of those great souls who have understood the truth. Therefore, Krishna explains the real process of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara praptam idam rajarshangavati. That true knowledge is the knowledge originally spoken by God, as it has been understood by those great saintly persons in parampara or disciplic succession. They are the messengers of the simple truth. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, tells a story of five blind men. They were sitting under a tree on the bank of a river, and they were speculating in so many ways about what is what. And each was so proud of his opinions and speaking with so much conviction. And as they were speaking and speaking and speaking about everything they could possibly think of, and having so many arguments and debates about who is right, a big elephant came and stood under the tree. So they were thinking, what is this? And one of them touched the body of the elephant and said, it's a big wall. Like, it feels like a dry, baked, dirt, earth wall. The other person said, no. You are bogus. You do not understand. He was holding the leg. He said, it is like a palm tree. Big pillar like a palm tree. And the other person said, no. Because he was holding the tail. He said, it is a rope. Just like a rope. How can you think it's a palm tree or wall? And the other person was touching the trunk. He said, you are all wrong. There's a python. It's a python. It's just twirling around. Another person held the tusks. They said, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what it is. It is like two big spears. So in this way, they were debating and arguing. And then a little boy came running by playing. And he saw all these people arguing and debating and with their hands on different parts of an elephant. And the little boy said, why are you all standing like this, touching this elephant? And they realized, it's an elephant. We're all wrong. And one of the blind men said, actually, we're blind. Why don't we just admit that we're blind? Why we're always debating and arguing and giving our theories as if we know? I think we should stop arguing. And another said, actually what we should do is we should simply become humble and hear from those who see. That's all. Then we'll know what is what. It's a simple story. But modern civilization has not understood it. Everyone is spiritually blind, and everyone has their relative perception and conception of what is reality. And everyone is telling, this is truth, this is right, this is morality. Why you are like this, why you are not like me. And there is so much disharmony. In my country, when I was young, there was something called the generation gap. It was a big gap. The motto was, never believe anyone over 30 years old. Don't trust them. They're your enemies. There you go. And the whole young generation was living like this. And we had our conception of reality. And the old people, they had their conception of reality. You should be like this. You should dress like this. You should wear your hair like this. You should study like this. And no, this is all old-fashioned. You don't know. The modern times have come. And they were both wrong. Because everyone was simply giving their relative ideas. And different nations, and here in India, different castes and different systems, everyone has their relative conception of what is good and who is wrong and how we're right. In every country, India is always fighting with Pakistan, and in India people think the Pakistanis are not correct. But in Pakistan they say the Indians are not correct. And in America they say you're all incorrect. And the British, they still say, you would have been all right if you just let us rule, and then everything would have been perfect. So everyone has their own conception, relative. So who's right? Who's wrong? Krishna. Janmadhyashayata. Krishna is the source of everything. We must hear from those who know Krishna, because they are presenting eternal truth. Sanatana Dharma. And that Sanatana Dharma is that we are all eternally part of God. We are not these material bodies which are always changing. We are not these material minds which are changing faster than the speed of the wind. But we are the ever constant spirit, soul within. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And our eternal nature is to serve the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigra Anadya Radya Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. There are many Ishwaras. You are an Ishvara. Everyone has their little scope by which they control. Every man thinks, I am the king of the house. And every wife thinks, that's what he thinks. Let him go on with this illusion, but I know better who's controlling him. And when a little baby's born, everybody's just serving the baby. The baby becomes the king of the house. Everyone's just running around, focusing all attention. So everyone has their realm of Ishwara. Being controlled. And there are the politicians and the corporate chairmen, and there are the demigods, but ultimately Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. And he is controlling us at all times. Our choice is, do we want to be controlled by Krishna through his material energy, by the force of time to grow old, get diseased and die, and to suffer the threefold miseries, and find some little bit of relief and happiness in the process, and think that that is my happiness. There's an example. A man falls down into a well, and he's holding on to a little branch that's about to break. He sees on the bottom of the well, he sees a whole pit of venomous cobras, all with their fangs out, hissing, ready for him to fall so they can eat him alive. And on the top, he sees a whole swarm of dangerous wasps coming down to sting him. And he sees the branch breaking. And meanwhile, there's hardly any air to breathe. But somehow or other, there's a little, just a few drops of honey are falling from a hive and coming into his mouth. And he's thinking, oh, this is so nice. How nice this is. This is our situation in this world. Some little bit of pleasure we're getting, and we're thinking, how nice life is. But we do not know that any kind of difficulty and misery is imminent by the power of time. Illusion is to think that we are the enjoyers. Knowledge means to understand that my eternal constitutional spiritual position is to serve God. Because in serving God, in serving Krishna, the natural bliss of eternal life is manifested from within us. And that, explained here in Krishna, can only be properly understood and practiced by hearing from those great souls and who have preserved the ancient knowledge of truth and by following in their footsteps. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse by Yamaraj where he explains who are the Mahajans. Mahabharata says that you cannot understand knowledge by any means except following in the footsteps of those who know the Mahajans. And if you don't follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, Yamaraj is waiting for you. Therefore he tells you, who are the Mahajans? Such great personalities as Swayambhuva Manu. What was his qualification? He was a grihastha with a family. Becoming Krishna conscious means to understand Chaturvarna Mayastistam Gunakarma Vibhagasya. In the previous verses of this particular chapter, Krishna is explaining what are the four varnas and four ashrams, and how we have to work. We have to perform our work in divine consciousness, in service to the Lord, according to our natural propensities. And Krishna also explains in this chapter how even he works. He doesn't have to work. But if he were to cease to work, everything would cease to exist. So from the highest to the lowest, no one should be lazy. Srila Prabhupada explains, the greatest offense of any government is to allow anyone to be unemployed. Because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. If people are not engaged according to their natural inclinations of varna ashram, then people's minds become restless, they become disturbed, and they cause all kinds of problems. Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness movement is not for anyone lazy. You come to this movement, you must work hard, but you work according to your spiritual as well as your material nature. Material nature, according to our conditionings of previous lives and early in this life, we are having certain impressions, certain inclinations, certain nature. Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas. According to your guna and karma, you work. But it has to be in harmony, in line with the nature of your soul. Which means to offer everything, all of your work, to Krishna, in service of God, in knowledge, in truth. This is declared by Krishna to be the path by which all of the great souls of ancient times have worked. Swayambhuva Manu was a grihastha, one of his children, Devahuti, beautiful daughter. He followed all the samskaras. He got her married to Kardama Muni. But this is what kind of Mahajan. He was a grihastha, but he didn't marry his daughter to somebody who had a PhD diploma. He didn't marry his daughter to someone who was making good earnings of money. Even though he was a wealthy man, he was king. He was living in a beautiful palace. He understood as a Mahajan and as a grihastha that his duty was his daughter would never take birth again in this material world. So he married her to Kardama Muni. Hare Krishna. I don't know if you know about Kardama Muni, but he was living in the forest. He didn't even have a home. But he understood that this is the love of a father, to marry my daughter to someone who will actually help her to go back to Godhead and solve the problem of birth and death. Grihasthas should follow this. Now we see here in India, everyone is making all arrangements for their daughters. Checking the horoscope. Will she get enough money? Will he provide her nice furniture? How much jewelry? What is his educational qualification? These considerations have a material value, which may be considered. But the prime aim of a father is my daughter, my son, will never take birth again. This was Swayambhuva Manu. Another of the Mahajans is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was also grihastha. But what kind of grihastha was he? He's the original guru who's repeating the word of God through his four mouths at all times and raising all of his children and grandchildren to follow the Vedas. Whether we follow or not, that is our independent will. And Lord Shiva, he's also a grihastha. He's a married man. He lives with Parvati. He has children, Ganapati, Kartikeya, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. But everything he does is in the service of the Lord. Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hari Hari. With his five mouths, he's always chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then there is Prahlad Maharaj. He's also one of the Mahajans. He's also grihastha. He was the king of the demons. But he was a devotee. He was always repeating the words of his guru, Narada Muni, and performing his work in devotion to Krishna. And there was Bali Maharaj, the grandson of Prahlad. He was also grihastha. He had his wife, Vindhyavali. But how he surrendered everything to the Lord, Vamanadeva. He surrendered all of his wealth. He surrendered all of his ego. And then he surrendered his life by placing the lotus feet of Vamana on his head. This is Mahajan. So grihasthas should follow these people. Now who are we following? People are following some businessman or some politician or some movie star or some singer, some professor. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. You follow these great grihasthas. Live in their footsteps and perfect your life. And then there are Mahajans like Vyaski. Shukadev Goswami, he was brahmachari. Nice brahmachari. He didn't even see what is the difference. He only saw the spirit soul in everyone's heart. And he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadev Goswami. And Narada Muni, he's also one of the Mahajans. He was a sannyasi. He's traveling around playing his veena. Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhikara Mana Name. Just chanting Raj. Everyone chant the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
had disciples who were grihasthas and brahmacharis as well. Prahlad Maharaj was his disciple. He became a king. Dhruva Maharaj renounced everything. He became disciple of Narada. Narada told him, go back, get married, take over the kingdom. It's all right. Krishna will protect him. But as far as the sons of Daksha, he gave them different instructions. He said, don't be in Maya like your father. Become a brahmachari. Follow me. So they all became brahmacharis. And then the other sons of Daksha. Daksha said, don't listen to this Narada Muni. Don't join his brahmachari ashram. Come home and get married. So they began to do tapasya, and Narada Muni told them that your brothers are very happy. Your father, he's in Maya. So they also joined his brahmacharya ashram. So we find amongst Mahajans, there are brahmacharis, there are grihasthas, there are sannyasis, but everyone's working together for the service of Krishna. And in this way, Krishna consciousness is a wonderful cultural experience. For according to how we can best serve the Lord and our natural inclinations, we all follow in the footsteps of those great souls who have taught us how to work, how to live in devotion to the Lord. The beautiful deity of Krishna can be honored, worshipped, and served in everyone's home. The association of devotees is so valuable. The very basis and essence of the whole Vedic culture is what we see tonight, where people come together in assemblies of pious souls to hear the glories of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat, to hear what is truth, what is the goal of life, to hear the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. By hearing the nectar of Harikatha, all the rubbish in our ears and in our hearts and in our minds is cleansed. And the nectar, the ecstasy of the soul's love of God is awakened. And this comes by associating with holy people, by hearing the truth, and by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So on behalf of our Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we would like to invite everyone, please take advantage of this wonderful fortune that the great souls in Parampara are giving us. Read these wonderful books by Srila Prabhupada, which teach us in a most authorized way what is the ancient system of awakening our divine consciousness. What is the eternal truths? Without speculations or partiality, he is simply repeating the word of God. Take these books, read them. Study them carefully. They will transform your whole outlook of life. Come and associate with devotees in nice programs like this. Come to our temples, Radharas Bihari Mandir in Juhu, Radhagiri Dhari Mandir in Niralo, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir in Chopati. Learn the ancient science and education of spirituality and devotion. Worship the Lord in your home. Make everything, your home, your family, the food that you cook, make it an offering to Krishna. It's a wonderful science. It gives meaning, fulfillment, and purpose to everything you do. Live a pure life. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These things incriminate us in bondage and ignorance. And most important, every day, accept with a grateful and attentive heart the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came. He is the Lord himself, to extract from the ocean of the scriptures the Maha Mantra, the great mantra for deliverance in this age of Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Experience the supreme happiness of love of God, devotion to Krishna in this very life, and find the real solution to the real problems of this world. Thank you very much. At this time, we would like to invite you to participate in this glorious Sankirtan experience. Lord Chaitanya taught the very essence of the knowledge of the Vedas in its most applicable form in this age of Kali Yuga. Kaler dosami deira janasti heka mahan guna kirtana deva krishna syamukta sanga param. In this Kali Yuga, we are living in an ocean of faults. Imagine, you have to take the words of the Shastra literally. It is an ocean of faults. If you are just plunged in the middle of an ocean, and it's an ocean of faults, where do you have to go? If it's an ocean of water, how will you get out? Sometimes when we're flying an airplane across the Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean, you look down and you just see ocean, and you just hope that the pilot is staying awake, but he doesn't fall asleep or something. Because if you go in that ocean, where will you go? That's why they keep giving these announcements, just to show you, I'm still awake. Still awake. But Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. There's nowhere you can go, to the right, to the left, up or down. It's just faults all around. But there's one benediction. By chanting Krishna's names, by the mercy of Krishna, he takes you out of this ocean. If we chant with humility and with devotion. Krishna is non-different than his name. If we chant in proper consciousness, Krishna will respond to that chanting. And he will personally come through his name and lift us from this ocean of faults, and endow us with all the good qualities of the soul. The qualities of God himself, in a minute proportion, Krishna will bless us with. And then while living in this world, we can become his travel agent, advertising everyone. This is Krishna Loka. This is Vaikuntha. This is where you should go. What is the price? The price is your faith, to accept the message. And how will you get there? By associating with devotees and chanting the holy names of the Buddha. It is a good place. So this is the one benediction of Kali Yuga, that simply by chanting Harinam loudly, enthusiastically, we can become cleansed and purified and return back home, back to God. So Lord Chaitanya taught the simple process by which we can all harmoniously and beautifully please Krishna by our chanting. Because unification is important in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So we want to chant and dance in a unified way. This dancing is not just some social form of enjoyment, like we see people beating each other with these sticks dancing around, or people in the discos beating each other with their bodies dancing around. This is all something else. This is the dance of the expression of our love and devotion to God for the pleasure of God. The dance of offering every limb of our body, our voice, our mind, our heart, our soul, everything we have, we are just putting it in the fire of the Sankirtan Yajna for the pleasure of God. So as I am chanting, everyone with very attentive hearts, fold your hands and welcome the holy name. Please. And listen very carefully as the name comes into your ears, into your heart. And as you are chanting, raise your arms very high, making your life an offering to the Lord who has descended in His name. And chant with great attention, with humility, like a helpless child calling out for its mother and father. We should chant the holy name. And we should move our legs together. Dayal Nitai Prabhu, please demonstrate. Dayal Nitai is very shy, but today he will give up his shyness for a few moments and teach us how to. Vivo.